Well, I don't know about you guys, but I've enjoyed the services so far today. Some beautiful songs, special songs. John Bob asked me this morning, he said, "Oh, you've got the message today, haven't you?" And I said, "I hope not. I hope God has." But you know, I was watching television this morning. I get up early enough to do that, you know. And this guy was on one of those Christmas programs, and he was preaching my sermon. Only he was a lot more animated than I ever get. He had music in the background, and he was really getting involved in the thing. But I know we've been going around saying Merry Christmas. Somebody told me they've been saying Merry Christmas for a week now. And I said, you know, this is Christmas Eve. We're supposed to be saying Merry Christmas Eve. Okay? Let's hear you say it. Merry Christmas Eve. Well, it's a Merry Christmas no matter when it is, isn't it? And we certainly want to rejoice in this time. Just imagine what it would have been like in this old world if it hadn't been for our Christmas, the actual celebration of Christmas, the coming of the Lord. And I mean, we've got it rough anyway with him being here and being with us, and still we find life gives us some curveballs to deal with, but it gives us the grace to face them all. Well, before we could ever have Christmas, we did have to have Christmas Eve. And before Christmas Eve, we had to have the promise of God and the Word of God to point us toward the day of Christmas. Joseph's and Mary's parents had gone together and pledged their son and daughter to be wed. According to history, it's kind of a celebration. It's kind of like being engaged for a while. But they were pledged to be wed. But before they consummated the wedding, the marriage, Joseph found out that Mary was pregnant. I don't know if there was a time span there. Then she, you know how women get when they get pregnant, they kind of start showing it a little bit, you know what I'm saying? I don't know if a time span had taken place and Mary was beginning to show, or if Mary, after the angel had shared with her that she was going to have a son and they were to name him Jesus, if she went to Joseph and told him. And I don't guess we'll ever know that until we're there. But because of that, Joseph said he's going to call the wedding off. And he had to be a pretty nice guy because, you know, he decided not to embarrass her by making a big scene of it. He's just going to do it quietly. But then the angel of the Lord came to Joseph in a dream. And he said, well, he explained to Joseph what was going on. You know, Mary's going to have a child. It's going to be the Son of God. And you're to name him Jesus. So that satisfied Joseph. And along the way, this census was put out by the Roman governor. And every citizen was to go back to their hometowns. Joseph was a line of David, so he was to go back to Bethlehem. So was Mary. So were their parents. So were other people. And as they began this trip, which was probably a 70, 75 mile trip, not mile an hour, but a mile trip, there were other people joining the thing because it was dangerous, actually, to go down these highways by yourself. If you remember in the gospel where the Pharisees walked around the guy that was wounded and beaten and robbed, and the Good Samaritan come along, you know, he was out there by himself. Well, these kind of journeys, groups went together, And I suppose, I'm just guessing, but I suppose that a 20-mile walk would have been a pretty good day's walk. When you get my age, you know, two-mile walk's a pretty good walk. But here they're going down the road, this group of people, so they stop each evening, and they have a time of gathering. They share stories, and it's not a boring kind of trip. It's probably kind of an interesting thing to do. And they're on their way to Bethlehem, and in those several days that it takes to get there, when they get to Bethlehem, who knows? I mean, I just have these things go through my mind. Who knows? But when they got close to Bethlehem, all these people took off. You know, they're going to the inn. They're going to get them a room. By the time Mary and Joseph got to Bethlehem, they found out there wasn't any room in the inn. But someone pointed them to a stable, which some say is kind of a cave like that. I don't know, wasn't there. But they went to the stable. And they probably had a stable boy there to help clean up an area for Mary and Joseph to spend their time. And I don't know how many days they were there, but probably a couple of days before Mary's time. But in that period of time, while they're there, the shepherds are out in the pastures, fields, hillsides, taking care of their flock, which means it must have been warm weather. They're out in the pastures. They're outdoors. They're out. Probably the shepherds gathered together, had a little bonfire, and were spending the evening together when this angel comes out of the sky, and this bright light surrounds him and those shepherds around that fire and announces to them that a baby was to be born, and he was going to be the Savior of the world, the Savior of his people. And as this angel was explaining to the shepherds what was going on, almost immediately the angelic choir burst onto sight and began to sing Joy to the World. And it was interesting to me. You know, we really don't have anything about Mary and Joseph in the stable and a baby being placed in a manger. But it seems that it didn't come back to them until the shepherds came in and explained to them what the angel had said. And then Mary treasured it in her heart and pondered on what the angels have said. And there in that stable, there on that day, right after Christmas Eve, right after they're getting into Bethlehem, the King of the world was born. His Majesty lay there on some straw in a manger. This morning, my son and I, we do our chores, and we have some calves that we're feeding, and I thought about this because over here on the blacktop, Tower Hill Blacktop, we've got four calves that we're feeding, and we've been putting the feed on the floor, and this morning we decided to take this kind of a little feed trough, a little manger-like thing, and move it over into the area where we had the calves and put that on the ground and put the feed in. I thought of Jesus lying in a little box thing like this with a little hay in there, a place where cattle or sheep had been, not pigs, some cattle or some sheep had been eating out of that thing, and there was probably the aroma of livestock in the stable. And I was thinking of this as we were taking care of that little task this morning, to think that the one that I call Lord lay in a box about like that on the hay. The one who was promised long ago a son that was to be born of a virgin, and they were to call him Emmanuel. You know, when we take our communion this morning, I want that thought to be on our minds, that God has sent us Himself, Emmanuel, into our world. And as we take of the bread and the juice, we're taking in Emmanuel, our God with us. And our God has promised to always be with us. And that because of that, we can always be sure that we have in our future good things. Good things. So why don't you join with me in prayer as we think of what God has done and what God is doing. Heavenly Father, there's so much that we can be thankful for. I know Dawn was talking about the hardship of this week, but James said rejoice in those times. Rejoice because God is with us even in our hard times, that He's promised never to leave us nor forsake us, that we have a God that loves us enough that He was ready to die and to give His body for us. And this morning, as we take communion, as we take the elements that represent the body and the blood of Jesus, let us remember that God is with us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, for the next few minutes, I want you to just bow your heads and think about how awesome our God is that was willing to give himself for us. Think about that and worship him. Worship him. Praise his name. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Now then, I want you to take your elements, your cracker in one hand, I want you to hold them up, and with a true sense of love for God, I want you to say, Merry Christmas, Lord. Take your bread. And your cup. And now someone's in charge of the candle lighting.
I'm going to take the light from the Christ candle, and I'm going to ask that we pass it through the pews, but if everybody will stand, please. And we're going to sing three traditional carols. We're going to sing Away in a Manger, then Silent Night, then O Holy Night. And that will be how we conclude this morning's service. We were going to do more verses than one, but we'll just sing one of each. So, as I thought, Melvin's call to worship this morning about sharing the light of Jesus was mm-hmm. very fitting for what we are to conclude with. Thank you. this day. We thank you for this time of year. We thank you for the reason that you sent your Son, Lord, for our salvation, that you love us that much, Lord. We thank you for all of these things. Lord, please bless each and every one. In Jesus' name, amen.